Start spreading the news. Beginning today, a new sermon series, Broadway, Broadway. So make it here all summer year. You'll wanna be a part of it, Bible Broadway. Only guarantee is that it's got to get better from there, huh? Want to thank some of the small group leaders and some of the church chairs and even some of those that were pigeoned in by their parents who made a commitment that then had to not do it there. And so a lot of hands to help make that great production that really kicks us off with a new sermon series that we will be covering each and every week this summer long. And that is where we select a different song from a well-known musical spanning the ages, and we'll pick one of the songs from a musical and see what that toe-tapping song has to do with biblical truth. And today we're starting with a bang, literally. My favorite musical of all time is the musical Newsies. I think the first time I saw Newsies was in middle school music class. We watched it as a part of that class. And in the wake of that, I asked my grandpa to make me a slingshot after one of the scenes of what takes place in Newsies. And so there's a deep history with this musical in mind and a couple of different songs that we could go to with this in mind. But I'll go with my favorite that I think is a call with graduates in mind on graduation Sunday. And it's the song Seize the Day. If you don't know the plot line of Newsies, it's a paperboy musical that has to do with an American storyline of underdogs kind of rising to the ranks. It's a bunch of orphaned or underdog children selling papers there that stand toe-to-toe with some of the powers of their day to correct some injustices that we're doing wrong in that way. And so just one of those American underdog stories. This is a scene from Newsies that captures the song that we want to focus on today with as it relates to biblical truth. And so Broadway, Newsies, biblical truth, making the most, seizing the day. Here's the song. I want to learn to dance like that, huh? Wow. How many of you have seen Newsies before? About a quarter of you, huh? It is mine and my niece's favorite, like I shared. And this song specifically, I don't know if you caught it, the lines of it, or at least the chorus line, now is the time to seize the day. Opportunity here. Send out the call and join the fray. Enlist, invite others. Wrongs will be righted. If we're united, let us seize the day. There's a lot of biblical truth in that toe-tapping stanzas there. And I want to turn you to that truth found in God's Word of Ephesians chapter 5. And so on the back of your message outline, you're going to find a printed version and the NLT version. Just feel like this is easier to follow in this. Breaking news, as of this last Tuesday, Ad Council, we will be having new pew Bibles at some point when they come in through the summer duration as well that will ease the translations as well. But this is a version of the NLT that I just think gets at seizing the day, making the most of our opportunities that God gives us, found on the back of Ephesians 5. And so let me read this for us today from God's Word in Ephesians chapter 5. Reads this. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us as a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. And you can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey Him. Don't participate in these things people do, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It's shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. By their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, and the light makes everything visible. That is why it's said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God, and it's to be the story of our lives. And it relates to making the most of these opportunities, to seizing the day. And so really with graduates in mind, but this is not an 18-year-old thing, but as much an 80-year-old thing, how do we make the most of this time that God has given us? How do we seize this day that God has opened before us? How do we make the most of our opportunities? That's what I'd like to talk about for the next couple minutes with you today. As we were reminded from last night's service for the graduates, commencement is a word that means beginnings. It's not endings, it's a new launching. And as the interim superintendent reminded the graduates, that diploma in some ways gives you some opportunities in life. He called it the ticket in life in some ways. And so what are these opportunities that are afforded to us as a result of seizing this day together? Well, let me suggest three things. With grads, yes, but with all of God's people in mind, about ways we live out His Word in this day that He has given us. And so the first of those that I want to point out to you about how we make the most of every opportunity, that's the verse that we're going to be camping out in the context around verse number 16. How do we make the most of opportunity must mean, point number one, that life has opportunities. If God tells us to make the most of every opportunity, it must mean that He's putting opportunities in our path. And opportunities mean potentials, possibilities, not guarantees, not entitlements, but opportunities, chances and choices in life that we all have to make. God is putting those on our path and telling us to make the most of these. Notice that word most. Not make the least out of life, not just getting some out of life, but how do we as followers of Jesus make the most out of this life that God has given us? That's what a Christian needs to be asking themselves in the mirror each morning. How do I make the most of this opportunity God has presented before me? When I think of different people that God has used in Scripture, it's not because of their perfection. I mean, every single person I'm about to name in a moment has their fears and failures and foibles about them, their sins in this way. But they saw an opportunity, and they made the most of an opportunity. So I want to ask you the question, graduates and 80-year-olds alike there, how can we sense when an opportunity comes our way? For some in Scripture, it was a life's dream in a pursuit of that dream. Joseph in the Old Testament was a character given a dream at a very early age, and there were a lot of twists and turns and detours and even enslavements leading to him, but he arrived at the fulfillment of his dream after faithfulness staying the course in that. And so in some cases in the Old Testament there, we find our opportunities by pursuing life's dreams. Joseph, an example of that. Jeremiah the prophet, another. A plan and purpose at a young age, and finding that, the burning of his heart and following it. Some find their life's opportunities in the most ordinary days. You remember what the disciples were doing when Jesus gave them their opportunity? They were just doing their job, right? Mending fishing nets, just going about their daily routine. Matthew the tax collector was at his tax booth. Just ordinary days when an opportunity presents itself. If I'm here to tell you as a graduate from my life's journey, my opportunities usually weren't seen as opportunities in the midst of them. It's just looking back. They just seemed like ordinary days in that. Moses himself saw the burning bush when he was just simply watching his father-in-law's flock. Just doing the work of that day and catching a flicker of life in that mundane of the day. Sometimes we find our opportunities by just doing that next right thing that is right before us. The menial tasks have meaningful worth in it. Sometimes we find life's opportunities in dark times or approaching challenging situations. For David, it was on the field of battle. When everyone's running a different direction, David runs to the challenge. And that was his opportunity that sprung him into the public light. Noah himself lived through dark days and yet found his opportunity in the midst of challenging circumstances and all that. And so graduates and 80-year-olds alike, I don't know where and when opportunities present themselves. I just know that God says that opportunities will come and we're called to make the most of them. It might come in mundane days. It might come in following the pursuit of our dreams. It might come in challenging times. For Abraham himself, it didn't come till much later in life, in his senior citizen years, where he snatched the opportunity at hand. I don't know when your opportunity comes or what how many opportunities there will be, but I do know God gives us opportunities, not guarantees, but opportunities to make choices. And choices have consequences, and we want to, in those choices and consequences, make much of Christ. Because it's in living for His glory that we find our own personal good. And so opportunities will come. Be on the lookout, the alertness, and the obedience to it. So what does obedience look like in life's opportunities? Well, that's the second point I would like to take you to. There's certain practices that help us make the most of life's opportunities. If opportunities are chances, there's choices that we make with those chances that can lead to making the most, making some, or making the least of this life that God has given us. And so I think camped around the context of that verse, making the most of life opportunities, there's this instruction to us. Be very careful then how you live. If there's opportunities in life, we're called to be careful about how we live so that we can seize the most out of our life. And this is where that series that we're just coming off of about how to study your Bible and the talk about context, that's where context matters so much. What is some instructions about how to live that's going to help us make good choices in life? Verse 16 is loaded with some lead up to how we make good choices so that we're careful about how we live as followers of Jesus Christ. Let me just review that with you, okay? If you would follow verse 1, we've got some do's and do nots in this passage that helps us make good choices or leads us down some broken pathways in life. And so verse 1 is a do. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. We're called to follow the model of God in our life. We're called to imitate God. And we know best how God would react to real human life situations because we've got God's Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh that lived among us, that showed us how to respond to real life challenges, relational difficulties, sin, circumstances, whatever that is, Jesus had to deal with it. And so when we're called to imitate God, we're called literally with that question in mind, WWJD. That was a big thing when I was in school, at least. What would Jesus do? To model in some ways what God is up to in our life. And you're saying, preacher man, that sounds good, very biblical. What would Jesus do? I like that there, but how does that apply out? Well, let me give you a practical step in that. Jesus has a lot of his followers still active and involved in life. People that would say that they're a Christian, not just with a label, but they genuinely are trying to seek Jesus and the decisions they make and the way they live their life. Get to know one of them as a friend or a mentor. Did you hear that, graduate? I think one of the ways that we imitate God is by getting to know godly people and asking them in some ways to pour into our life, to bounce some questions and some circumstances that we go through in life off them. It can be helpful in our imitating of God to know a few of God's people, to tease out the waters and ask, is this an open door or closed door? Should this be engaged in? Should this not be engaged in? We need godly mentors and godly friends in our life. Seek those out in the next steps of life. Who are some godly friends that are going to help me in my walk and relationship with God? And who are some mentors that can pour into that way? Practical next step that will help you make the most of your opportunities in life. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do because you are his dear children. Don't forget what family you belong to, child. We are invited, adopted into this divine family of God by way of God's Son. Certain families have certain privileges. And being a part of the family of God has privileges and powers and presence in this. And so don't forget what family you belong to. Don't forget that reputation on the back of your name or when you slap a Christian label, if it belongs or not, what family you belong to in that way. And as children of God, I like that phrase, child, because it means that there's some growing up to do, right? Like none of us have arrived yet. We're children of God. And so he knows what he's working with. You're going to make some mistakes. This isn't the green light to just go full tilt in that direction, but it is this realization that God knows who he's working with. And a father is not going to disown his child. He's going to love you through this, and he's going to help you, pick you back up, forgive you, and move you forward because you're connected to his family. And his family is one of forgiveness and freedom to move forward. Don't forget who you are as a child of God and his family. There's some more do's. Verse 2, live a life with love following the example of Christ. This is not middle school love, okay? I love you this moment, I hate you this moment there. It's love that's connected to an example of Christ. And if you remember how Jesus loved, it wasn't a feeling of love, it was an action of love. Specifically, sacrificial love. Love spelled out in the Bible, it costs you something. And God's telling us, yes, this love is going to cost you something. It's going to be sacrificial. Pursue it. It's the kind of love that makes a lasting legacy connected to Christ. That's the way that a Christian is to love. Not for selfish pursuit, but selfless pursuit, costing you, sacrificing for another, because Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. These are some do's that help us make the most of every opportunity. There's some do nots too. Catch verse 3. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Warning, watch out for the bedroom and the bank account. These are some stumble points there. The bedrooms and the bank accounts in life have caused many a stumble in this journey of life and sent them down pathways of brokenness or destruction or doomsday. And I want to walk the line clearly here too. This is always so difficult to preach on because I say this as a warning to some in this way of being aware of this in other aspects, and others hear this of, oh, that was my life story as a teenager and I messed that up. Am I DQ'd to be used by God's plans and purposes? You need to hear from both ends here, okay? God really is a forgiving God. There's no rewind button in life, but there is a redemption button in life that God can do a healing work in life, and he does and he has through many individuals. Hear that good news and turn to him. Don't try to excuse the past that's been done, but own the past that's been done and ask God to do a healing work in your life. We need to hear that if that is our past story. But we also need to hear the present warning too. And that is that there are some stumbling points in life that don't have your best interest in mind. And here are some landmines. God really is all for the bedroom, but there's some proper boundaries in that that he spells out at the very beginning. And so we would be good to be mindful of that and to pursue it in healthy ways, not destructive ways. And God really does use rich people. Abraham, that man I mentioned, was a wealthy business owner, and God's using that in the Old Testament. It's not that money's a bad thing, but we need to be aware of it and be warned by it and be making sure that this is pursuing God and not an idol in my life. Two danger points to be aware of, the bedroom and bank accounts. And I don't know if you caught it. We probably won't get there for time's sake, but he mentioned in verse number 18 too, the booze. Don't be drunk with wine. It's a destructive habit in Paul's day that he's writing about. And maybe he would write about some other addictive behaviors if he's writing to today's audience in this way. But there are many lives that have been ruined by pursuing a pathway of drunkenness. Listen here, I have not been around real long. But I've been around long enough to have conversations with people that what started off as a social setting turned into an enslaving addiction. And following that too, what was the life of the party, now all of a sudden, when done behind closed doors, leaves people closest to their life counting the amount of drinks because they're wondering, can I approach daddy this day or not? Can I speak to my spouse, or are they not in the right frame of mind? We need to be mindful that there are dangers ahead that don't help us make the most of every opportunity. And this is coming from a dude whose first miracle changed water into wine. Is there a place for good food and good drink and God's good plans? You betcha. But beware too. It's a two-edged sword. The bedroom, the bank accounts, the bottle. These are all things that we need to be aware of, whether we're 18 or 81, of making the most of every opportunity or the least of it. Being clear there? There's more. More warnings here. Verse number 4. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, be thankful to God, a.k.a. our words matter. What our mouths say and how we say it, these matter if we're going to make the most of life's opportunities or the least of them. And maybe we need to add in the year 2022, your posts are your words too, right? It's not just what comes out of your physical mouth, but what's coming from these fingertips that are connected to your person. And so what we're doing on social media, or what we're liking, or what we're following, will follow us too. Is that the direction that we want to be going or not going? Are we uplifting others with these words, or are we tearing down ourselves or our society with these words? A Christian has to consider that. If we're to make the most of this opportunity that God has given us. There's more. Verse 5. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God and of Christ. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Our worship matters too. What are you worshiping in life, 18-year-old or 80-year-old? What are you worshiping in life matters for whether we're making the most of this opportunity or the least. Can I give you the best college course that I ever took? Best college course I ever took in 4 years of college happened on Sunday morning in church. It wasn't graduating away from church, whether you're living in mom and dad's household or not. It set a rhythm and a healthy guidelines of life, and it probably helped make some Saturday night decisions that wouldn't have already been done with knowing that Sunday morning was coming as well. And so, graduate, I want to encourage you, whatever your setting is, whether you're living in parents' home or you're living outside of parents' home, and this step beyond, don't graduate from church. Whether it's this church or another church, because Jesus has plastered them all across the fabric, find a church that preaches the word and plug into with a caring community in mind. You need it. Not too long ago, I went to Lakeside, and there was a well-known preacher that was speaking at Lakeside who had some kids of college age. And this is more for you parents there. I don't know how this plays out. I just had one that graduated kindergarten, so I'm learning from you in this way there. But this one had a preacher, had some kids in college age, and he shared a personal story that when his kids went off to college, he was able to financially help some of them in their college studies. And so he wanted to make sure that his money's being put to good use. He wanted to make sure that they were showing up to class because he's paying for those classes. And he also wanted to make sure that they were going to church. Not just showing up to something Monday through Friday, but forgetting that faith of their Sunday that was to blanket their entirety of life. And so his metric was he had regular conversations with this son and daughter, checking in and asking specific questions so that he would know whether they're bluffing or not of the churches that they're attending. And there was some bulletin proof that they had to present themselves at different times. I don't know how that plays out there or what line you want to draw, but all I'm saying, parents, there is you don't want to raise them up in the faith just to kick them out of the house and never have another faith conversation with your son or daughter. They're going to have choices to make on their own. They're not going to be in your household forever. They're limited windows, don't get me wrong, but there are things that we can do as parents that show our priorities and open a dialogue, at least in discussion, in these matters. Because worship really does matter. What we worship matters to make the most of these life's opportunities. And Wigglies, I know I'm on borrowed time, so let me just get to the closing point, okay? Point number three, this is just some of it. You can read through more of it, but these are some practices that we've just gleaned. Point number three, though, I think is the main point of all it that ties it all together, and it's this. Jesus lights the way in paths opportunities. We won't realize an opportunity outlined before us if not for the light of Christ shining upon it. And so get what God's word says about light. Light is a key theme in all of Scripture, but in this passage specifically, it's mentioned three or four times in just a limited number of verses. Get this. For once you are full of darkness, this is all of our past stories, sin is a problem, our words aren't right, our actions aren't right, we've done some of these things on this list, we're all a part of that darkness, but there's a new opportunity. Now, light from the Lord, live as people of the light. Jesus shines a new way, gives us a new opportunity. Yet again, their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. And lastly, this is why it's said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The image I get of all this, I don't know if ever you've been in a really dark room before. Like walls very dark, like all the blinds pulled there, door closed. And there's a light shining in the hallway, but you can't get to it because you're in this room, closed doors, blinds, you're in darkness. Picture that setting for a moment. And then picture what happens when that door slowly begins to open and that light from that next room starts beaming in. Like it overcomes the darkness, right? And the more and more that you open it to, the more and more that this light penetrates in and in and in. And my calling to you, 18-year-old or 80-year-old, is let the light in. Jesus is the light of the world. That there is an open door, and what he even says in the book of Revelation is that he stands at the door and knocks. If we open this door to him, he starts in our life. And some lights are instant switches, right? You flip the switch, bam, light's there. Sometimes lights are on dimmers, and it takes a time, kind of like the sanctuary lighting today. But more and more it increases. When Jesus shines in your life, he does a new thing. A work of light, and he wants to do that in your life. But we got to crack open the door to him. He's given us an opportunity to receive him or to reject him, leave the door closed on him in our life, or allow that door to open and be open to his ways rather than the world's ways. And my call to you as a pastor on a meaningful weekend, don't forget that light that desires to be in your life. Don't forget that storyline from Newsies itself that says, now is the time to seize the day. Don't wait for that decision in 4 years. Don't wait for that decision when you got a family and kids. Don't wait for that decision when you're in a hospital bed or in hospice care. Now is the time to seize the day. You've got an opportunity to receive or reject Jesus today. Send out the call and join the fray. There's been many others in 2,000 years who have joined that team, whose lives have been transformed by that individual. Some real scoundrels, some real shady folk, what Scripture labels of all of us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You can be in that fray of a sinner changed direction in their life because they let the light in. That's our call. That's our gospel message. That's what's being resounded today. Wrongs will be righted. As you keep following Jesus, he's going to keep pointing out some things in your life that are not right, that he's going to write in your life as you continue to lean into him. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit always leaves his marks in holiness in your life. That's to be involved if you genuinely came to faith in Jesus. He's going to right some wrongs in your life as you come to him. If we're united to him in faith, he starts to do that work. And so I will say again, let us seize this day, church. God's given you an opportunity. Let the light in. Amen.